Been thinking a lot about a phrase in our text this morning, in view of God's mercy. And I hope that as we consider the beautiful day, but all the blessings he's given us, that we do see God's mercy and his grace and just how good a God he is in providing us with every good and perfect gift. Sir Michael Costa was an Italian-born conductor that became famous in England in conducting various orchestras. And I read that one time when he was conducting an orchestra, a rehearsal, that as the trumpets were blaring, the drums rolling, the violins playing their melodies, the piccolo player, the single piccolo player, thought, well, I don't think I'm going to play. My gift or my instrument just isn't that important. Nobody ever notices me. So he just pretended like he was playing his piccolo. Well, it didn't take long before the conductor, Michael Costa, stopped and said, "Where's the piccolo? Where's the piccolo?" You see, it was missed by the great conductor whose ear was trained to listen for each and every instrument. It's much the same way with the Christian and the use of his or her talents before the Lord. And if in the great orchestra of life the cry ever goes out from God, "Where's the piccolo? Stop! Where's the piccolo?" May it not be one of us that's missing, that's not using our talents and abilities to the glory of God. The analogy that is often used in Scripture to teach the unity and harmony and function that Christians are to experience is that not of an orchestra, but as a body, a human body. In fact, I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 this morning. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul uses the human body to speak about the body of Christ, the church, and how the members of the body of Christ are to work together in unity and harmony and effectiveness to do what the church, the body of Christ, is supposed to. Romans 12, verse 5, for example. "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." I want us to examine the first 8 verses of Romans 12 this morning, to glean some essentials for spiritual ministry and growth within the body of Christ. And the first essential is personal commitment on the part of each and every one of us, personal commitment to God. Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." I beseech you. Here's the Apostle Paul, who could have said, "I command you," as with the authority of an apostle, but rather he uses the word beseech, or "I urge," or "I appeal to you, brothers." So it's not so much a command, but a strong urging. He's pleading with these Christians, just as he'd be pleading with us today, to present each of us, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. He was pleading with them to do the will of God from a sense of appreciation. Not because they had to, but because they wanted to. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," or "in view of God's mercy." And with that statement, Paul is pointing backward to everything that he's written in the book of Romans up to this point. And if you read through Romans 1 through 11, you'll see blessing after blessing after blessing that God has given the child of God. And in view of God's mercy, in view of his grace that is found in Christ Jesus, and all the blessings, the spiritual blessings that come in Christ, in view of what God has done for you, "I urge you," he says, "that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice." And that word "present" is a technical term for offering a sacrifice. And the language here means to present once and for all. It's putting yourself on the altar, if you will, and remaining there. It's that kind of commitment. But not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. Based upon that once for all commitment that you're making to God. Present your bodies, Paul says. Before one becomes a Christian, he or she uses his or her body for sinful pleasures and purposes. But when one becomes a Christian, he belongs to Christ. We belong to him. Therefore, we're to use our bodies in his service. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Use your body to glorify God. Use it in his service. No longer in service to yourself or service to Satan. But use your body in his service. And it's our privilege to glorify Christ in our bodies. And to magnify him by everything that we do. Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, I want nothing more, nothing less than for Jesus to be magnified in my body. That when people would look at Paul and observe his actions, that they would be caused to ponder about Christ. And that through seeing Paul, they could see Christ more clearly. May that be said of each and every one of us. That we magnify Christ by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Paul says, do not present your members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Romans 6 and verse 13. So we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The first essential ingredient of our function as children of God comes from personal commitment on the part of each and every one of us. But notice secondly in verse 3, it also requires humble self-evaluation. For I say, Paul says, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. 1 Corinthians 4, there's some questions that the Apostle Paul asks. And I want to answer these questions with you this morning. They're meant to be rhetorical. The answer is implied. It's supposed to be very, very obvious. But notice these questions. Number one, who makes you differ from another? Who makes you different than everybody else in this room? And the answer is God. God makes us different. Each of us is his unique creation. Question number two. And what do you have that you did not receive? And what do you have that you did not receive? The answer, nothing. Because everything that I have, I've received from God who gives us everything. Question number three. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? And the message is that if you received this gift from God, you have no room to boast. Because all glory goes to God, who gave you everything, who gives us everything that we have. The gifts that we have come because of God's grace. And since our gifts are from God, we cannot take the credit for them. All we can do is accept them and use them to honor Him. I find it very interesting that the Apostle Paul emphasizes this in its context about every member of the body of Christ, the church, using his or her talents, gifts, abilities in his service. And sandwiched between that personal commitment and that faithful cooperation that he's going to discuss is this part about humbly evaluating yourself. And I think he's addressing this problem that can creep in, the problem of pride, of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Why would he do that? It seems to me that he's pointing out what will prevent and destroy faithful cooperation among members of the body of Christ. Pride. Pride. It reminds me of two ships that collided in the Black Sea in 1986. And as research was done, investigations were done to determine the cause of this collision of these ships, it was discovered it was not a malfunction of one or both of the ships. It was not some problem with technology, with radar, or any such thing. It wasn't even thick fog that caused the collision of these two ships. Investigations revealed that it was human stubbornness that caused the collisions of these ships. Each captain was fully aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear and avoided this collision. Neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first, and by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. I think that's why the Apostle Paul addresses humble evaluation. You don't have anything that you didn't receive from God. And so why do you boast about your gift? Why do you allow pride to get in the way of faithfully cooperating, working together as members of the body of Christ? Because pride will keep one focused on his or her needs to the exclusion of anyone else. Pride will cause us to overstep our bounds. Pride will keep one from admitting wrong and keep one from asking for forgiveness. And as a result, pride destroys relationships. And it destroys the harmonious, effective working of the body of Christ. Someone said, pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it. Humble evaluation is essential in realizing our spiritual function within the body of Christ. Number three, it also requires faithful cooperation or loving cooperation. And again, this is where Paul really emphasizes this analogy of a body compared to the body of Christ. Each Christian is a living part of Christ's body, has a spiritual function to perform, and they're to be used, all these gifts are to be used for the building up of the body of itself in love. And I want us to go through this text line by line and see some points of emphasis about cooperating as members of the body of Christ so that the church can function effectively. Because we could sum this passage up by saying we belong to each other, we minister or serve each other, and we need each other. But notice these lessons. Number one, each individual has a gift. If you're sitting here this morning or standing, you have a gift. You have a gift. I say that by the authority of the Word of God. Every member has a function. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It's a given. Having then gifts differing. Since you have gifts that are different from each other, then use them. Our gift does not depend on our age, our occupation, our education, our income. Every person has a gift. Number two, each individual has a unique gift. Romans 12, verse 4, all the members do not have the same function, and that's a good thing. Let me tell you why. 1 Corinthians 12, in another passage where Paul uses the analogy of a human body, comparing it to the body of Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? All members do not have the same function. And again, that's a good thing. That is a very good thing. And sometimes we'll, thinking about comparisons, what part of the body am I? And some say, well, I feel like a thumb. Well, have you ever tried to go without a thumb? Or not have the use of your thumb? And how difficult it is to try to grab things? Every member of the body is important and has a special function. Which brings us to that third point that we just stated. Every gift is important. We have many members in one body, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 again. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Every member, every gift is important. Number four, all gifts must be used. And I want to spend a little more time on this section. All gifts must be used. Having therefore gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And here, Paul then lists seven specific gifts that should be used. Now, I believe in 1 Corinthians 12, and then some of the gifts listed in Ephesians chapter 4 refer to miraculous spiritual gifts that were existing in the first century. However, I'm inclined to believe that most, if not all, of the gifts listed in Romans chapter 12 are non-miraculous that are existent today. And I even see them in this church family. But I hope that one of these is going to hit you and say, hey, I can do that. And then God would say to that, then do it. But notice these gifts that are singled out by the Apostle Paul, that he says these gifts need to be used. First one is, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now granted, we study prophecy, and there was a gift of prophecy that was a miraculous spiritual gift. And that's before we had the revealed will of God in the whole scripture, the Bible. And some were given this ability to reveal the word of God in a miraculous way because they didn't have the complete revealed will of God. However, there's also a gift of prophecy in a non-miraculous sense that can simply refer to the proclamation of the inspired message. Prophecy, many times we think of foretelling the future. But prophecy can also mean, and does mean, and many times in Scripture, simply forthtelling. Not foretelling the future, but forthtelling. Boy, I'm going to get my tongue tangled, aren't I? But telling, revealing, saying the Word of God. If anyone speaks, here's an example, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to speak, if you're going to proclaim, then make sure you what you proclaim is in fact the Word of God. That can be a non-miraculous gift as well. Some of you have the ability to do that. And Paul says, if you do, do it. If it is serving, number two, if it is serving, let him serve. This refers to any kind of service. And some of you have this gift. Some of you have the ability to read what's not being said. Some of you have the ability to see facial expressions and know there's something going on. Some of you have the ability to know that there's something going on in that person's life and they need some help. And many of you have that ability not only to perceive that, but then to act upon it. If you have that gift, Paul says, use it. If it is teaching, thirdly, let him teach. Some have that ability to take a passage of Scripture and to really to digest it, to dissect it, then to digest it and be able to relate it to others in a way that can be understood by all. Many of you have that gift. Many of you are able to teach children to wear some deep concepts in a simple way so that they can understand and appreciate. If that's your gift, use it. It's vitally needed. I love this one. If it is encouraging, your Bible may say exhorting. If it is encouraging, if it's exhorting, let him encourage. And I want you to see that these gifts, as they're listed before us, that even this gift, this ability to encourage other people, is listed and just as important as preaching or teaching. Some of you are splendid encouragers. God has given you the ability to often say the right words at the right time. And to some of you, God has given the ability to not be able to say anything at all and still be encouraging. Just by your presence at just the right time, you encourage others. If that's your gift, use it. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously, Paul says. Some of you are able, God has blessed you with good jobs, and you may not feel like you can do a lot of things, but one thing you can do is give generously to the work of the church, to good causes. If that's your gift, you do so generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. Some of you have the ability to lead other people to do the will of God. If that's your gift, use it. Don't hide it under a bushel. Use it. Every Christian is a leader in some way. All of us need to be leading others to Jesus by the things that we do, by the words that we say. But if you have that gift of leadership, use it. And finally, in this list, if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Some of you have the ability to really feel with other people, to be able to put yourself in their shoes and it really experience some of the emotion, some of the pain that they are feeling. You're able to identify with others. That's a gift from God. Use it. Every member has a gift. No gift is not important. All of them are. But all gifts must be used in harmony with one another. And that's the beauty of being a part of the body of Christ. Differing gifts, but all gifts used in harmony with one another. Individually, members of one another. Romans 12 and verse 5. You see, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Even those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. But the members of the body must work together in order to grow and be effective. Ephesians 4 is another one of those passages that the analogy of a body is used to describe the church. But before we read Ephesians 4:16, let me point out a key to the body functioning effectively. It's as essential as the circulatory system is to our body's functioning. And that is love. Love must be sincere. Paul would go on to write in Romans 12, verse 9. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You see, love is that circulatory system of the spiritual body which enables all the members to function in a healthy, harmonious way. Ephesians 4:16. From Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The members must work together. And then all gifts must be used to the glory of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it or use it in service to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, there's our word that we've been looking at. Stewardship. I hope we're gaining more and more of a sense that idea applies to every aspect of our lives, not just our finances, but even to our time and our talents. We're to use our talents, our gifts, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Three essentials of spiritual function in the body of Christ: personal dedication, humble self-evaluation, and faithful cooperation. Because of this, let us, in view of God's mercy, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. To do something is one thing, and then to do it is another. Before we do anything, we have to have motivation. What is our motivation for presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God? I want to come back to that phrase that I began with. In view of God's mercy. There's our motivation. In view of what God has done for us, let us offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And perhaps it's this morning that you want to personally commit your life to present your life as a living sacrifice to God. And it begins by surrendering to His will. And it means that if we haven't done so, that we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ so that His blood can wash away our sins, so that we can be added to His family, the church, the body of Christ, and begin to function with other members of the body of Christ to do the work that God has called us to do. It may be your desire this morning to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer so that these changes can be effected in your life. And it may be that we need to rededicate ourselves to be functioning members of the body of Christ as God has called us to. Perhaps some of us need to ask for prayers to that end. If you need to respond this morning, please come right now as we stand and sing.